26 minutes before the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. John Harper, Glenn Leverins, on the eve of the March for Life. Thousands descending to March for Life in the nation's capital. And the breaking news late yesterday that Drew Mariani had on his program is that President Donald Trump will address the March for Life in person. Now, in past years, we've had presidents address the March for Life in a video conference or a pre-taped message. President Trump will be there live, and we'll cover that for you tomorrow from Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, we'll go live to Washington, D.C. later in this half hour with Matt Beardsley, who is heading our team for the March for Life, sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, online at CatholicHealthShare.com. And if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., what we're doing is kind of a viral support for life here in the United States. You can go to RelevantRadio.com. You can go to the Relevant Radio app and click on the hashtag #FastForLife banner. Let us know how you're going to be praying and fasting to end abortion in the United States, and then share that. Spread the word on social media. You can become an evangelist today through RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app with the hashtag #FastForLife banner. Sign up. Let us know how you'll be praying and fasting to end abortion in the United States. Then share it on your social media page and spread that message of life to others today. In Washington, D.C., with, I think, 5 busloads, the University of Mary from Bismarck, North Dakota. Monsignor James Patrick Shea is the president. Monsignor, good morning. Welcome from Washington, D.C. Was it 2 years or 3 years ago that you led the March for Life? I forget now.
I think it was 3 years ago. And 4 years ago, we were stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike
right
on the way home from the March for Life in that big snowstorm.
Yeah, yeah, with the ice halters and everything, and that was a very yeah, moving experience. And that's almost the hand of the Holy Spirit. I know we don't like to get caught in things like that, but almost the hand of the Holy Spirit with the solidarity that we saw and you saw with the students from the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, and just getting together in a very impromptu situation, making the best of a bad situation, and just sharing faith and just lifting that up to God. That was a very powerful moment, I think, coming in the heels of the March for Life. You have 5 busloads of students there. The zeal for life obviously has not waned on the campus of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. What do you see in the zeal of these students now at the March for Life?
Right. You know, it's an extraordinary thing to see young hearts rise up in the fight for justice for those who have no voice. And so the love that that these young people have, these college students, for unborn children, for children who are voiceless, but not only for the unborn children, but for their mothers as well, for everybody who faces a crisis pregnancy, for everybody who's in a difficult situation, the deep compassion that runs through the representatives of this generation is very uplifting to me. And I know that they carry with them the wake of a profound gospel hope that life would be cherished from conception to natural death in our nation, and that Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, those disastrous Supreme Court decisions from 47 years ago, would be overturned. And the students of the University of Mary are determined that those decisions will be overturned in their lifetime, but not just a judicial victory. That's not just what they're looking for. They're looking for a deeper cultural victory, for a transformation of the culture to the respect of human life and dignity. And so it's very beautiful to see. You know, you referenced, John, the time when we were on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and it was a beautiful moment of God's grace. Of course, it was profoundly inconvenient for those of us who were there, but the way in which the students bound together, the way in which they understood themselves to be in solidarity with those who are facing inconvenient or difficult circumstances throughout our country and throughout the world, and the media attention which that event brought to an event, you know, the March for Life is the largest annual peaceful demonstration in Washington, D.C. every year, year after year, yet it's largely ignored by the secular media. Places like you, John, Relevant Radio, do cover it. But the attention that it brought to the March for Life was profoundly beautiful, because people began to see that this rising generation of young people are really standing for life. And I'm really privileged and honored to be able to stand with them.
We pray that the Holy Spirit guides the secular media tomorrow as they will cover President Trump being the first president ever in person to address the March for Life and not get that message caught up with other news coming from Washington in terms of the impeachment trial and things like that, to separate really the wheat from the chaff here journalistically and to report on life here in the United States. What is it like? And I'll never forget that moment. You were live on the air on Relevant Radio, marching up Constitution Avenue, leading the March for Life with the students from the University of Mary, and we could hear your voice breaking. It was a very emotional moment. What is that like with these young people standing up for life as you go up that hill on Constitution Avenue to the Supreme Court?
One of the reasons the University of Mary is so eager to bring so many busloads of students, I mean, they travel 60 hours on a bus round trip. One of the reasons that we're so eager to bring them, such a large group from so far away to our nation's capital, is because when you're at the March for Life, John, you have an irreplaceable opportunity to recognize that in your deep pro-life convictions, in the love that you have for unborn children, for their mothers, for the cause of life, that you're not alone. And so I remember when we were leading the March for Life, you begin at the Rally for Life, which is where the president will speak tomorrow. And there'll be all kinds of other speakers as well, survivors of abortion, mothers. There'll be a representative of the young rising generation, political and religious leaders will speak. And then we'll all march up Constitution Avenue. There's a place before you reach the Supreme Court where the road kind of rises. And as a result, there's just something in the angle of the street at that point where you can turn around and you can look and you can see thousands and tens of thousands of people swelling the streets behind you. And you realize, you begin to catch a glimpse, I think, of reality as it really is. Sometimes the cause of truth, of justice, of right, sometimes the cause of God and the gospel seem like they're so weak in a world which is hostile to truth, to goodness, to beauty. And at a moment like that, you realize that it's not weak, that God has power and has friends that are limitless in number. And so at that moment, John, when I saw my students, the students of the University of Mary, at the head of those tens of thousands of people, their faces shining with joy, not with anger, not with impatience, not with some type of vindictive malice, none of those things which are often attributed to so-called anti-choice demonstrators, which is what the New York Times will call us in their story tomorrow if they publish anything. That's not what I saw. What I saw was young women and men full of courage, full of joy, full of hope. And yes, my voice broke because I was so profoundly moved. I felt like all of my dreams were coming true. A good, faithful Catholic university should produce students, should be forming students with precisely those kinds of convictions, who will fight injustice, who will stand for life and right and truth. And I knew that there I was beholding the fruits of the labors of so many who work with me at the University of Mary.
Certainly, Monsignor Shea, we can all pray for life, and our Relevant Radio listeners do that. We've got the hashtag Pray for Life and Fasting for Life going on right now at relevantradio.com. But how do you take the profound moment that you and the students had at the March for Life and bring that message to someone who may not be involved as demonstratively as they should in standing up for life? Well, you know, how can we convince them? What's that argument like?
Well, so I do think, first of all, that many of the listeners here of Relevant Radio would love to be in Washington and for various reasons aren't able to be. And that's where that vision that I had, that I was just describing on Constitution Avenue, of seeing the street bursting with participants in the March for Life, that wasn't meant simply to be a temporal vision. In a certain sense, it was so moving to me because it was a spiritual vision. It was symbolic of tens of thousands who couldn't be there. And the fact of the matter is that that our hearts should stand in solidarity with those who can't speak for themselves. In other words, the desire that God has is that injustice and that which is wrong and evil and which is harmful to human life and dignity in every generation would be opposed by those who are his friends and his followers. We're the friends and the followers of God, and God needs friends. He needs friends. It's not because he's powerless. It's because that's how he chooses to work in the world, through the humble hands and feet of those who love him, who want to serve him with their lives. And so what I would say is that tomorrow gives our whole nation an opportunity to stand for life. Every faithful believer from sea to shining sea should be joining in prayer and in fasting for the end to abortion in our land, and more deeply than that, for the establishment of a culture of life and a civilization of love. That's our deepest hope. That's what we work for. That's what we march for.
Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, leading another very large contingent of students at the March for Life. Monsignor joining us live from Washington, D.C. this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Monsignor, we see the very big money, tens of millions of dollars by those who are pro-choice to defeat politicians, including Congressman Dan Lipinski from Illinois, whom we've had on, and others who stand up for life in our United States Congress. We just saw a story this morning that a pro-life organization is committing $50 million to help those candidates get reelected who stand up for life. As we see Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court perhaps being turned around in the not too distant future, at least we pray for that, it does then become a states' rights issue. What kind of hope do you have when you look at the students in the University of Mary and the activism that they will bring to their hometowns to defeat any pro-choice legislation?
You know, John, what you're so good at is mapping out the reality of the situation. As you just said, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, and we pray for that day, if Roe versus Wade, which was an unjust act of judicial activism, if that's overturned, what happens is then the issue does return to the states. And so it's not the end of a fight. It's not the end of the battle. It's the beginning of the rolling up of the sleeves and the working for the protection of human life in every state jurisdiction. And so it does become a question of each of the 50 states at that point. And what I see, what's so encouraging is the University of Mary students aren't just a bunch of kids from North Dakota. We have students from every state in the union who come and spend a portion, a season of their life in Bismarck, North Dakota. What's beautiful, of course, about North Dakota is not the snow and the cold, which sometimes we get associated with, but the depth of a deep Christian culture that you can see in the sort of in the atmosphere there in North Dakota is really beautiful. And so those students have a chance to be formed in a very wholesome environment over the course of their college education. And they're formed by each other, too, because they're a gathering of faithful young Catholics from every corner of America. So they all come and they spend a wonderful period of time, a wonderful season of their life together, learning about truth and beauty and goodness, taking courses together in Catholic studies and theology and philosophy, studying at our campus in Rome, going down to Peru on mission trips, doing various things, being at Mary College at ASU at our branch campus in Arizona. So they spend all of this time together, and they're deeply incubated in that. And I think that they're not naive either. They realize that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, for which we're all praying and fasting and tomorrow marching, when that happens, they need to be poised and ready to stand for life at their local and state jurisdictions. Then it becomes a matter of convincing people that what pro-life people are looking for is something which is profoundly liberating. We're not trying to take away anybody's freedom. In fact, we're trying to say that unborn children and their mothers are deeply, deeply in need of support of our society, of the type of support and the love which doesn't give itself to choices which are destructive of human life. And so I think that there's profound hope.
And maybe some of them will get involved in the political process. We may see a future mayor, governor, or maybe even president of the United States coming out of the alumni of the University of Mary.
We certainly hope for that. We hope for that. In addition to religious vocations, to the priesthood and the religious life, to holy marriages, we do want our students to take the training and the education that they receive at the University of Mary and use it for the service of the greater good. And that's a great Catholic tradition.
And tomorrow in our live coverage of the March for Life, which begins here on Relevant Radio at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific time, I know we'll be catching up with a very large contingent, some 5 busloads of students from the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, as they participate in the March for Life led by Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary. Our prayers to you and the students for a safe day tomorrow and a safe journey home. Thank you, Monsignor. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Washington.
Always wonderful to be with you. God bless you, John. God bless you.
Monsignor James Patrick Shea. Matt Beardsley is leading our team coverage of Washington's March for Life. We'll go there coming up next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.